Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we hit on some Bruins. Hockey's back tonight, folks. Bruins, Blue Jackets, exhibition here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, but... You know, sort of lost in all the bad news. You know, again, more stuff today out of Philly, more games canceled, more positive tests, more guys teetering, opting out. Like, it feels like we focus on the bad news, which, you know, it's what we do. You know, that's what we do. And I'm not going to change that. But lost in all of that is this very simple fact. They're playing.
Yeah.
They're playing. They're back. It's happening. Sports are happening.
Have you seen any of the NHL stuff, Mike?
Just highlights from last night. Just highlights from last night. Why? Do you have some impressions?
Well, I mean, I think Maz agrees, too. It looks the best in terms of a production standpoint of all the sports returning. You really don't miss the fans much anyway. You always have those tight shots on the ice. It just, the game moves so fast anyway. It's not like anything that you would be noticing in the background. It looks awesome.
I mean, it looks the most like the real product is what I would say. Like, you know, to me, because, yeah. And you know what part of it is? They're playing in an NHL rink. Right, they're playing in Toronto. The NBA floor It's a TV studio. As nice a job as they've done with it, it's a gym. It's a gym, and I told you, I don't love the fact that the floor is a uniform color, inbounds and out of bounds. I wish that they had made a solid painted area and the out of bounds so I know exactly where the playing area ends without having to think about it. But the other thing is, hockey's constantly moving. I saw a highlight today with Doc Emmerich calling a goal. I think it was the Islanders game. And I went, oh, that sounds real. That sounds real. That sounds like the real thing. Hockey to me looks like the closest thing to the real product.
So I was going to say that I was a little disappointed in their TV set because I know it's a TV set. I want it to be a TV set. And I think the NBA created those screens so tight to the floor that it created its, I don't know if it's intimate, but it's, you know, there's no illusion of fans or stands or seats. In hockey, they had the big tarps over it for most of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if they could have done something similar. I mean, you just build screens along the entire surface, you know, right behind the plexiglass or right above the plexiglass to create a set. But not that I care. I thought they were going to give me a little bit more. And because I was just watching highlights, I haven't seen all these, you know, fancy camera angles that I keep hearing about. You know, they put these cameras in all these different places and we see angles and, you know, perspectives that we just haven't seen, and you don't view a hockey game this way unless you're in the stands. I haven't seen much of that anymore, anyway. But I'll watch tonight. You know, we'll see tonight. Bruins, Blue Jackets. Listen here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Turn on the TV if you just want to get the visual. Back to your phones, as promised. Mike and Melrose on Pasternak. Hi, Mike.
A lot of the things from last year's playoffs about the first line, like, it's been skewed because, like, they're all on the power play. And, like, you see the big NBC Sports graphic, and it's like, oh, they have 6 points this series, and five came on the power play. And exactly. They go five bad games and have one big one. Our best line all playoffs was the Coyle Johansson line, and now we don't have Johansson. If we don't have that line to carry us, the first line needs to pick it up a lot more.
Okay. And I take Bergeron out of it, and I shouldn't. But I do, because I think he does so many things away from the puck and defensively, and I just, you know, he's pretty impeccable, that guy. Marchand and Pastrnak, I mean, Pastrnak had one even-strength goal in the finals last year and turtled at every other turn, shied away from contact. He was -3, -4, -5, -7. Pastrnak alone was a -7, one even-strength goal. They just need more from him than that. But he got physically intimidated. His hand was all messed up because he was screwing around after a client event late last season. That's on him. So Yeah, added to what went on this year, a lot of pressure on him. I expect him to produce, and if he doesn't, he's going to get it, and he should get it from the likes of us. John in Haverhill. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I'm talking about the Pats opting out. What is everybody's opting out mostly because they got infants at home, correct?
Or in some cases. On the way? Yeah, in a lot of cases.
Do you think because they have a lot of rings in the bank that their motivation to play this year is lacking compared to other teams that don't have the jewelry?
Yeah, I think it's a factor. But it still doesn't explain it all the way, John. It still doesn't explain it all the way. The vast, vast, vast majority, again, I'll give you 99% of Patriots players who've come through here over the last 20 years and won 3, 4, 5, however many rings they've won, the vast, vast majority, 90%+ play until they can't play anymore. No matter whether they have kids or don't have kids, whether they have conditions or not conditions, whether they get to play for the Patriots or someone else, look at your quarterback, for Christ's sake, okay? And he represents the vast majority. All these guys, I mean, we like to think, I mean, when I said to Chris and Raynham, what did Willie McGinnis do after he left here? How many people even remember him going to Cleveland?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, not many. No, not.
But I mean, it doesn't register with us. But if Vrabel went somewhere else. Vrabel went to like two other places. Like, there's for the most part, they all Vince Wilfork hung on and for another couple of years. I mean, all of Randy Mommy teams that he played for, name them. Brewski hung him up, and that was it here. But all these guys, they kept playing and kept playing and kept playing and kept playing. And that's the vast majority of guys. So when someone doesn't, it's surprising to me. And that's where it is with Mayo and me. Never mind this fact. I mean, but it's just the whole narrative of, well, they don't think they can win here. To which I would say, why not? You had the best coach ever and what I thought was an amazing quarterback. But apparently not. Brendan in Toronto on the NHL stuff. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, guys, outside of the Bruins Hotel right now, and be thankful they ended up here because there is nothing going on. The only thing Pasternak's got to do is throw on a Flutie jersey and go to BMO Field and pretend to be an Argonaut. But Toronto moves to Stage 3, 12:01 a.m. That could spell trouble for the teams downtown tonight because gentlemen's clubs open up, restaurants, indoor dining opens up. So something to keep an eye on in the coming days.
Okay, and I think the teams that are the most mature and can just keep it in their pants have a huge advantage. And I don't care if that means you're young or you're old. It just means, can you keep it in your pants for just a couple months?
Well, I know the answer to that question.
And if you win a cup, then you can whip it out. And you probably shouldn't because it's COVID, but that's a whole other story. We'll just speak in a vacuum. After you win the cup, then you can whip it out and do whatever it is you got to do. Go nuts.
I told but you with Pasternak, I'd have someone handling him.
Yeah.
Is what I would do.
He needs a handler.
I did. I would. I'd have someone with him to make sure. I joked with Murray about this yesterday. The way the San Francisco Giants had someone sitting outside of Pablo Sandoval's room so he couldn't order room service. Same thing with Pasternak. Put someone there. Make sure he can't leave.
How sad is that? Like I mean, it's all sad all the way around, you know. But a kid and going out like that's happened. You got to put someone there so the guy doesn't eat. That's a sad story. It really is. David in South Florida. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. Not sure how much you guys saw of the Lightning-Panthers game yesterday, but I think as a Bruins fan, Tampa scares me more than any other team in the East. They slaughtered Florida 5-0 without Stamkos and Hedman. And side note, I want to add how much Bobrovsky sucked and how horrible a contract that is with 6 years and $60 billion left. But
was it Sergachev who got in that fight in that game?
Yeah, him and Boyle.
Okay, Sergachev. So Tampa should scare you. They should scare you because they have more to prove than you do. You got a lot to prove. But Tampa has even more than you. And if you'll remember, in our previous life, I think it was the second-to-last game before the pandemic, you had that great Lightning game here at the Garden. The Lightning won it, but it was one of those sort of statement games where all bunch of fights and all sorts of scraps. And, you know, Tampa came to play. They came to play physically. And if they've got the ass from last year and they've figured it out from last year, you're in trouble. Everyone's in trouble. That's the most talented team in the league. And if they know and if they've learned how to play and learned what it takes and you drop it on top of that talent, then they should be the team to beat. We'll wrap it up with one more call here before we hit the break. It's Colleen in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Colleen.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm just calling in regards to putting an asterisk, whether we should do it or not with the NBA, because I'm of the belief that we should not. Because a lot of teams that were otherwise injured going into the playoffs have now had a chance to heal and rest. And all the teams are now playing under the same circumstances, and the teams that are able to adapt and have camaraderie, unlike teams like Philly that seem like they hate each other all the time, I think they're going to do better. The only thing that I think would change my mind is if multiple playoff teams get COVID. What say you guys?
Yeah, well, that'll definitely change it. I mean, if the Celtics win, I'll give them an asterisk.
Right, because they never had to go to Toronto. They didn't have to go to Milwaukee. And we know what home court advantage means in the NBA playoffs. Yeah, I mean, there's certain teams, if they win it, I'm sorry, it's going to feel asterisky. People will be pissed about that. Like, the 76ers are another one. That team, like the caller said, hates each other. From a chemistry standpoint, they're last year's Celtics. They have no business winning the title. But with this setup, they could.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to giving you an asterisk, because this is just the kind of thing the Celtics win. It really is. Right. It's just the kind. I feel the same way there as I do like the Canadiens doing something, just because it would just be so them. It'd be so Celtics to get this gift. Really, no road games, no travel. Don't have to go to Toronto. Don't have to go to Milwaukee. Don't have to go to Los Angeles. I mean, it's just really, that really levels the playing field for you. And you take advantage of it because you're you, where no one else would, and you win a championship. I'll put a big fat asterisk on that. I'll put that asterisk next to your first whatever 12, the first 12 or 13 that you won, when the opposing center you went against was what, Murray, 6'4" and named Dolph.
Yep, wearing belts.
6'4" Skippy Magoo, center out of Iowa State, with a buzz cut, a belt, and knee pads.
Don't forget the knee pads. That's right.
Your
the knee pads.
First 12 important. Championships. Your first 12 championships. You beat that guy. And then for your last, you're going to do it in a high school gym in Orlando, when you don't have to go on the road. Perfect. Perfect way to add to the Celtics legacy. We have a Celtics talk coming up in a little bit, but first we're going to get to the Red Sox. We have a Red Sox minute for you. Thoughts on last night's ball game, where they stand again. It's a reentry Thursday for yours truly. The Joe Kelly suspension. You want to weigh in on those things. You can join us at 617-779-0985.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Robinson Cano is 2-for-4. He has singled each of his last two times up.
Wiggle your way out of this. Just get me an out and let's get out of here.
One strike pitch. Little floater. Backing up. He's got it. Peraza with a catch, and the Red Sox win it. 6-5, the final.
Whew.
Goodness gracious, you said it all right there. Red Sox win it 6-5 as they snap the four-game skid here tonight. Brandon Workman leaves the bases loaded.
Well, I said on the Red Sox last night, that was almost a... That was almost a humdinger, Maz. That would have been a good one to talk about.
Unfortunately, they won.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was ready. Boy.
The most disappointing Mets-Red Sox result since 1986 for me. I was pissed.
You are cold, Murray. You are cold.
Come on, that was funny how that was going in the ninth. If you weren't rooting for the Mets to get a walk-off there, I don't want to know you.
So true. It's setting up perfectly for us, Murray. Setting up absolutely perfectly, and the Mets then just gagged it. But It was a good ball game. I consider that like the first real baseball game of the year for the Red Sox. I mean, seriously.
Mike, no question. All the others have been one-sided games decided early. It occurred to me watching it, too. It's the first time you actually had decisions that had to be made in a game that were going to affect the outcome potentially one way or the other. Everything else has been a blowout. They won 13-2 in the first one. They're down 4-0 in every game they played until last night. It was the first time you had a real ball game.
Yep. Their starting pitcher kept him in it. You battled against one of the best in the game in DeGrom, who is filthy. And there's some breaks on both sides. It came down to the wire. It was a good game. Good competitive game. First real one of the year, I would say. And I don't know where you want to start, Maz. Brendan Workman didn't deserve the result that he got. And his control was so bad. And him, walking guys at the bottom of the order. Was it 6-3 going into the ninth or 6-4? I'm going to go 6-4.
Yeah, 6-4.
Yeah, right. They got one in the eighth and one in the ninth, the Mets did. So it was 6-3 into the eighth, 6-4 into the ninth.
And he's got the bottom of the order up there, and he's got the iron coming up after the bottom of the order. He's walking guys. And he's just curveball after curveball after curveball after curveball, walking the bottom of the order to get, guys like what's his face? The first baseman.
Why Alonso.
On his name? Alonso, up there with guys on base in the game in the balance. It was just horrible pitching. But this goes back to something we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's sort of their approach with Brandon Workman and the modern nature of baseball and the analytics of it, which is they'd rather him walk guys than get outs through contact, than hitting some bats and letting the hitters, ground out or hit into some outs, because if you put it all into the supercomputer and average it all out, that some of those hits are going to be home runs or extra base hits, and they're better off having guys on base and him just walking and striking out, walking and striking out, walking and striking out. And so the next thing you know, he comes in and he walks the world. It's aggravating.
Oh, isn't it awful? It is. It's awful. And I'll tell you what, this occurred to me. Murray, you were talking about Zach Godley earlier in the week. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how he came in relief and he had those four good innings. And watching Godley that night from the second he got into the game, and I don't know a lot about the guy till I saw him. You notice he throws a ton of curveballs? And the guy they got from, what's his name, Colton Brewer? A ton of curveballs.
Spin rate mess.
Yeah, it is. It's totally. So they were just cookie-cutter guys. They're all cookie-cutter guys. Workman's all curveballs. And I'll tell you where I would start, Mike, because this has sort of been building for me for a week now, going back for Godley in the beginning of the season. You know where I've settled? I hate the way they pitch. Hate it. I hate the way they pitch. So I started to look up some of the numbers today. And Cam, the intern for the Baseball Reporter Show, he looked up the numbers for me. You know what the percentages of fastballs that the Red Sox throw as a staff?
I do.
35.5%. The lowest in baseball. Two-thirds of the time, the Red Sox are throwing junk. Junk. Two-thirds of the time. So now, look, this year, part of the explanation for that is that their pitching staff blows. So they have a bunch of guys on the staff that the organization looks at and say, dude, no offense, you're not throwing a fastball because your fastball isn't fast. It's just a ball. So you know what? We're going to tell you to throw off-speed stuff so you don't get your face kicked in. But it was the same thing last year. It was really the same thing the year before. It works for them at sometimes more than others. But they go out of their way to throw breaking and off-speed stuff to pitch to the other team's weaknesses more than their own strengths, and I hate it.
Let me ask you something, Maz. And this would be a good, for Cam the intern or our friends at Boston Sports M, for Tucker. Are more home runs hit on fastballs than curveballs?
Oh, I would say for sure.
So, I mean, you just think by nature, right?
Like, yes,
you just,
I would say for sure.
I mean, it feels to me like that is common sense, but I wonder if it's the whole game has centered around the home run,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is doing the best you can on the mound to prevent them, doing the best you can on offense to get them. And if that means striking out because you are just swinging out of your ass, collateral damage. If that means on the mound you're walking guys because you're not getting anyone to barrel up a ball, so be it. You'll walk a guy. If that means a multitude of different things, that it's all about playing for the home run or playing against the home run. So have the nerds gone into it and said, well, 72% of home run balls come on fastballs, so we're just going to sign curveball guys and pound them with curveballs, and we'll put guys on base, and it'll take forever, and we'll give them some hits. and some, again, base on balls, but we're going to give up fewer home runs. And that's the whole methodology?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that's it. And this goes back to, remember when Dana Lavangi was the pitching coach? And last year, when they were asking him about Workman's walk totals, and everyone's talking about the walks, he's not giving up any hits. And I read that and went, oh.
Yep.
Ugh. And so, again, just looking it up, I told you, based on curveball percentage, okay? And they've only played a week's worth of games here. Of the top 10, and I'll say 11 pitchers in the league, because it includes the Red Sox, in the majors. Top 11 in the majors, curveball percentage, the Red Sox have three of them. Three, Brandon Workman, Matt Barnes, and Zach Godley. So as soon as I saw Godley the other night, it's the first thing that popped into my head. Curveball, 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 cutter, cutter, sinker, curveball. It's the same changeup. No fastballs, none. And I'm a traditionalist in this way. I still think it's the best pitch in the game. A well-executed fastball is still the most effective pitch in baseball.
So that's one thing. The way, you know, Workman pitched last night was enough to tear your hair out. And he didn't have his command. He didn't have his good stuff. But it's also slightly by design, as Maz just mentioned. They've admitted to it that they'd rather have him give up walks than have him draw contact for outs, you know, and just because the chaos of the ball in play, and ultimately, if you average it all out, the more balls put in play, the more home runs he's going to give up, and we'd rather him give up walks. And so he comes in last night, and even though it's the bottom of that Mets order, curveball, 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 curveball. I mean, Eck and Remy were all over him. It was great. But that's partly by design, as insane as that is.
Well, and Mike, just let me jump in quickly, and I'm sorry, because this actually started in the eighth inning. Because you remember what happened in the eighth inning? Barnes came into the game.
Yep.
First pitch.
Yep. Cespedes hit a fastball, didn't he?
Fastball home run.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then you know what happened? The next at bat, curveball. Right? And then Workman got behind the count, curveball. Curveball. Curveball, curveball. Like, so they ventured into the area once. They gave up a homer. And they said, okay, that's it. We're going right back. Curveball, curveball, curveball. Like, I guarantee you, Vasquez probably gets someone shouting to him from the dugout saying, enough with the fastballs, no more fastballs, throw curveballs. They throw so many freaking curves. Watch the game. I'm telling you, like, try to pay attention. I know most people don't. You do, and I'm not talking to you. But the fans, count the freaking curveballs. You go out of your mind. Out of your mind.
How about the lineups? How have you felt about the lineups so far?
All over the map. All over the map. And they're platooning, like, you know, Peraza bats first. I don't know if you heard this cut from Ron Renicki the other day. The optimal, according to what the analytics guys told us, the optimal lineup against a left-hander is with Peraza hitting leadoff.
Oh, my God. I want to kill myself.
And so Peraza, in the first three games, batted ninth, fifth, and first. Like, Benintendi has hit first and ninth. Martinez is hitting second. Like, it's all over the place. The lineups are all over the place.
It's the nerds. It has nothing to do with Renicki. And when Renicki says it's not like they hand down a lineup, they might as well have. And I read this again. This is a little bit of a reentry for me. I've been off the last couple days. But I read this in The Athletic the other day. Just the headline. Bats still silent as Ron Renicki syncs with Red Sox analytics gurus in new ways. And I went, oh my God, they're taking over the game. That's not, this is, and then the whole thing is them massaging the point that the nerds are setting the lineup. And they go, and the Athletic reporter here, and the story makes, you know, takes great pains, and Renicki makes great pains to say, it's not like we're handing him the lineup. You know, Zach Scott, the chief nerd over there, is quoted throughout this story. And he's talking about the reports that he provides Renicki. He says, the reports show each probable starter and our players for each position. It's not a lineup order. This has nothing to do with order. It's a tool to help him think through if he wants to give a guy a day, meaning a day off, I guess, or when he's the right time to play this guy that's normally on the bench. So when I read that, I'm like, okay, so if you're not handing him a piece of paper that says, here's the order 1 through 9, you're handing him these reports that say, this guy hits this guy, this guy hits that guy, this guy hits this guy with the grade, and then there's like a grade that they give it. And so if you think Ron Renicki is going to go against your recommendations, the front office's recommendation, you're nuts. You're nuts. The manager is going to tailor his lineup to the grades and the metrics you give him. So you are, in essence, setting the lineup, you nerd.
Of course, yeah.
So please, give me a break. just because you don't hand them a sheet of paper that lists the names 1 through 9, for all intents and purposes, that's what you're doing. Again, this is nerd. The writer for The Athletic says, essentially, players are rated with a score ahead of each game to predict their impact on the game's outcome. Quote, it uses a number that's based off the particular matchup of that starting pitcher and that hitter, Scott said. It's based on a comparison of the strengths and weaknesses of both the pitcher and the hitter, so we come up with these kind of scores. I think that's the one he's responded to very positively with us, and it really just allows us to plan ahead. We don't provide anything on a frequent basis that's about batting order. Again, I get it, nerd. You don't want to be blamed for the batting order, but I'm blaming you. He says, we just have these conversations, and I told him that when we studied it, what we've learned from it. So again, if you hand him a three-ring binder with all these grades and these numbers that say this guy hits that pitcher well and this pitcher coming up hits pitches well against this guy, and that guy, and you hand him that thing for the week, what do you think he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to risk getting fired by going against your grades and your recommendations and using a completely different order? No. He's going to paint by numbers and tailor the order to what you get. So this is all just my nerd rant. These lineups you're saying on a nightly basis, it's the nerds, Maz. It's the nerds.
Oh, it totally is. Look, again, you don't have to tell me that. And that's absolutely what they're doing is they're giving them a manual. That's what it is. It's a manual. Here's how you put it together. Here are the pieces that you need. And give them a little inventory of all the data. It's a manual.
God dang. I just... The nerds have taken over your team. I still don't know if they have any idea what they're doing. I still have no idea, and I still think you suck. But does last night give them a little life? A good win against the best pitcher in the game, competitive game, maybe one that can sort of steady them a little bit. Does last night save their season? It might have, Maz. Last night might have saved their season. I don't know if it's too early to say that. They would have been it would have been 1-5 if they had lost last night.
Yes.
And, if they had lost it because the bullpen now, they ponied up and, I don't know, that would have been a tough one. They may have saved their season last night, but if you suck, what does it matter?
Yeah, that's more of a Mets loss than a Red Sox win.
God, the Mets blew that one, didn't they?
Oh, big time. Yeah, big time. I like to say they had every chance to win that game in the last couple of innings, not to mention the fact that they had an early lead, their ace on the mound, like all of it. This Red Sox team's a pinata, man. You should just beat the crap out of them anytime you play them.
Okay, we can do that. Your thoughts on it and the reaction to the Joe Kelly suspension coming up right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Buster, the Dodgers and Astros met last night. We saw what happened. 8 games suspension. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Tony, within the Dodgers organization, there's absolute outrage and shock over this decision because an 8-game suspension in a 60-game season is the equivalent of a 21-game suspension. Within the Dodgers organization, there's a feeling of, look, he didn't hit Bregman. He actually, in their eyes, didn't even come close to hitting him, and they felt like Dusty Baker was screaming at Kelly in that inning from the Houston dugout. They were absolutely surprised by the length of the suspension, especially because Kelly is a reliever. Now, I think from Major League Baseball's perspective, Rob Manfred said during the wintertime in so many words that he was not going to allow open season to be on the Houston Astros. Back in 2017, when all the sign-stealing stuff happened, I think we can look back and criticize Rob Manfred for not But drawing a line in the sand and trying to alter the behavior with one big penalty at that time against the Red Sox or the Yankees, well, in this case, it seems that's what he's trying to do, alter the behavior and stop teams from throwing at the Houston Astros.
All right, Maz, quickly, give me your thoughts on the eight-gamer for Joe Kelly.
Oh, look, it was harsh. There's no question about the fact that it was harsh. I understand why the commissioner's doing it. I think it's good for the game. I think it's good theater. It's good stuff, all of that. And so there's no question. What Manfred's doing is he's trying to stop people from going after the Astros, particularly amid the pandemic. Like, the one question I have is, if this whole COVID thing hadn't happened, would Manfred have let a little of this go? I wonder. Because
Maz, I think that part of the eight games is for the fact that he invited, Joe Kelly precipitated the benches clearing and have mass gathering. In other words, I think it's as much about that as it is about anything else. No fighting this year.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a big part of it. And he said, he doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field. So if you're going to hit a guy and you're going to do it deliberately and you're going to incite a bench clearing incident, I can't have that. We already have one team that we've had to shut down. Now the Phillies are closing down their ballpark, and you're going to do this in the middle of that? Like, I think that this is what it's all about. Now, look, wouldn't surprise me if it's trimmed a little, but I think that Manfred went in to let everybody know, hey, none of this crap this year. Settle your debts in 2021. We're not doing it this year.
But it's proof the game just doesn't get it overall. And it's suspended him a game or two tops. He didn't hit anyone. Oh, but he threw it in his head. It wasn't really that close, you nanas. He got punished more than any cheating Houston Astros player for cheating. Joe Kelly, eight games. Those collective a-holes, zero. And the most important thing, psycho Joe Kelly gets more people talking about baseball in a positive way in the first time in a year. And you whack him eight games. Like, they're so tone deaf and so stupid.
Well, so, I agree that I like all that stuff, too. I like the fighting and I like that whole element. So, it's sort of unfortunate that I feel this way about Joe Kelly. I think Joe Kelly's a clown.
Oh, me too. I hate it that I now have to kind of like him because of him doing this.
Crazy Joe Kelly.
Yeah, people have forgotten about something, in all of this. He sucks. He absolutely sucks. He's like... he had one good run in the playoffs. He helped win you a championship. He was very good there. But other than that, we spent 90% of our time dumping on the guy. He had like a charter member of the Wheel of Gutless Bums. Not be able to throw a strike, a mental case out there. And so, first of all, you suck. Second of all, dude, where were you the year after the Astros won at cheating? You were with the Red Sox being managed by the ringleader of the thing, who, let's face it, probably brought some of the same methods. I know the report on them went far easier on the Red Sox than it went on the Astros, but what do you think they were doing? You don't think Alex Cora had some tricks up his sleeve for you? You know that he did. It wasn't all that poor schmuck's fault who was in the video room, okay? So it's like, whose honor are you defending? Because you probably cheated for your championship, too. Maybe not as bad as the Astros, but you guys were probably up to something. So who are you to take that moral high ground? And, oh, by the way, you suck. And it's like, boy, it's real easy to be a tough guy when you can throw 100 and you're up on the mound and you can't fight. So it's like, that's sort of it's not a fair fight. You just got to sit there and chuck a ball at someone's head. So, like, I have no use for Joe Kelly, and I don't feel like defending him one bit. I do love that part of baseball, the brawls and the hatred and the antics and all of that. I'm into it. So I guess I'm sort of conflicted. I just wish it was someone other than Joe freaking Kelly.
Yeah, so look, remember, he started one with the Yankees a couple of years back as a member of the Red Sox, right? There was the point at that time was there was fighting, and he still did it. And then that was the whole, I'm going to defend my territory, the junkyard dog that is Joe Kelly.
Clown.
Like, I don't, and the other thing, the sanctimonious reaction from the Dodgers, oh, please, you guys have been planning this for months. You've been planning it for months. Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap. What do you think, Kelly went rogue? Joe Kelly went rogue? That's what he did? Stop. Someone was going to drill someone on the Astros. It was going to happen. They knew the person was going to get suspended. Eight games is harsh. It is, but so what? You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
K, okay? I promise your calls on all of this right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brandon Workman wants to get this one, wants to pin this one down for the save. And the 3-1 to Nimmo. That's a strike.
3-1 high hook. Well, I tell you, if he walks him there on that hook, you second-guess it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and he got a gift, I think, on this one.
I think so, too. Late break, that ball's up.
That ball's high, yeah.
That is a gift. I mean, if he's thrown five curveballs, it's got to be another one, doesn't it?
You would think.
Yep, he did not get a call there, so it's ball four.
That's hard to believe he didn't throw one fastball in that hole at bat with a two-run lead.
It's beyond me, but that's why you call him the Yak Man, because he throws yakkers one after another. So many breaking balls before in my life. That's a ton of breaking balls.
He's not landing them either. 3-1.
This is ugly already.
Bounced it. Wow. So he's walked two in a row.
That was not even close. I don't know what that last pitch was. Didn't break much.
Can't get the fastball over when he throws it.
And his curveball's everywhere. One good one, one bad one. He's scuffling right now.
2-1 pitch to Conforto.
My Workman, he'll make you smoke cigarettes, man. Won't he?
Don't talk to me about that.
Here we go. Got to be another hook. Unless he's trying to slip the cheese by him.
An edge of your seat night.
Wow.
Another one left up.
There's some ugly breaking balls. He's just really scuffling tonight.
One more look at that breaking ball, and you see it really doesn't do what Brandon Workman's curveball usually does. And that's very fortunate that ball was fouled off.
Boy, he is taking this to the limit.
A little sample of what that ninth inning looked like, and he got the save. Curveball, what we were talking about before. Back to your phones. Tony and Stoneham, your thoughts on the Boston Red Sox. Hi, Tony.
How you doing? Not only the Red Sox. I got three little things, and just give me a second, okay? The Red Sox, we now know what Pawtucket fans are like, because we're watching the minor leagues with a smattering of major leagues. Now, you mentioned some 6'4 guy that played against Russell.
Oops, my fault. Keep going, Tony. 6'4 guy, play against Russell. Please skip that one. Go to the next one.
Okay, the next one is, Maz, we did the right thing in getting rid of Garoppolo. He proved it in the Super Bowl. He had the Super Bowl won, and he lost it. So
okay, three things. I told you, just one. Stick with the first one. The Red Sox are a Triple-A team. They do blow. But, Maz, last night, they don't totally blow front to end, right? I mean, like, where they're bad, they're really bad. But they can hit. Over half the teams in Major League Baseball are going to make the postseason. And if last night can steady them just a little bit, it may not be a lost season. Or is it a lost season?
Well, look, it depends what they do with it. But I'm not going to shed any major light on it for you here. The two games of Aldi's pitched, they've won. Okay, so it's really a question of whether or not they can get anything even remotely representative out of the other spots. So when Evaldi's been out there, they've been either ahead or in the game for the large majority of the time. And look, he's no great shakes. It just goes to show you how little it really takes to be reasonably competitive in Major League Baseball. Have a guy on the mound who doesn't suck. And with this lineup, you'll be okay.
So, but, you know, last night was the first time that I saw, other than opening night, which shouldn't even really count because it was a blowout, but, you know, where they got some timely hits. They made some plays in the field. Now, it was Lynn who made a bunch of those plays, but it was like, and he's not obviously a starter for you, but it's the first time I saw them put some winning plays together, you know, in situations of consequence. And at least there's that. It took almost a week, but we finally got one.
Yeah, there was life. Right. That, to me, that's how I put it. Like, there was life in the team. You know, they got behind, they fought back, and it was against one of the best pitchers in baseball. They had to, you know, they had to compete for that win last night. I saw more compete last night than I'd seen in the four previous games.
Brian and Chelsea, your thoughts on the, God dang it, I hit the wrong button. Call us back, 617-779-0985. Sorry, John in Warwick on the Kelly suspension. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, great show. Listen, my only question is the Joe Kelly incident, back to that. I'm just wondering if I know the eight games was really tough. I know he's a reliever, you know, but you know, throwing up those guys the way he was, you know, it's not right. We all know that. I'm wondering if there's going to have any ramifications throughout the rest of the league, like when the Yankees play the Astros. You know, what's the commissioner going to do if one of the Yankees pitchers happens to, you know, not intentionally throw at the batter, and what's he going to get tossed out of the game? I'll hang up and listen to your feedback on that. Thanks, guys.
You know, this is maybe to Murray's point that, you know, it was one of the few entertaining things to look forward to was teams going after the Astros and trying to extract their pound of flesh and that whole back and forth. And this suspension was so heavy that, heck, not only is no one going to, you know, go after these Astros hitters, they're not going to even throw inside. And, like, we've totally lost one of the few compelling storylines we've got this year.
Oh, for sure. Now the bar has been set. Now that you know it's eight games, and granted it was, oh, he threw it at his head. Again, high, it wasn't really close. But still, you now know if you go at one of these Astros batters and it's intentional, the baseline's eight games, so no one else is going to do it.
I'll tell you, in their defense, for the most part, I thought the Astros handled it well right up until the nice swing, bitch.
Right.
Well, no. That was Kelly who said that.
Yeah, right. So, but my point is that when the ball went over Bregman's head, Bregman, you know, put the bat down. It was a 3-0 pitch.
Yeah, he didn't even stare really back in.
He took off his elbow guard or whatever it was. Maybe it was an ankle guard. I don't remember. But he took, you know, and just kind of put the bat down and went to first base. Like, so to me, I almost think the Astros are expecting it. They don't want it at their heads, but they're expecting it. They know it's coming.
I mean, I'm sorry. That face that Kelly made at Carrera, the oh my God, he deserves to get pummeled. He deserves to get absolutely, he deserves to get his ass kicked. Don't you want, you shouldn't, you can't do that. You can't stick your tongue out like someone needs to go out there and pummel him, don't you think?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I did like the line though. Nice swing, bitch.
Okay, well, that's different than the face he's making. Oh, my God.
Ah, that's good. Nice swing, bitch.
We're going to continue with your calls on it. Real quick, I want to reiterate that we only have a couple more days to raise some money for Jake Kennedy and his GoFundMe page. Jake Kennedy, again, the founder and inspiration of Christmas in the City, stricken with ALS, and he has taken a turn for the worse in the last couple of months, and his family needs help. Obviously, insurance does not cover it, does not cover all of it, does not cover most of it, and they need help at the house. They need help managing Jake Kennedy and the family, which has given Boston so much through Christmas in the City and other endeavors over the years, really are worthy of our support. And so we're trying to raise some money for the Jake Kennedy GoFundMe page by some private Felger Zoom sessions. There's nothing else. We tried to think of some other things. I keep telling you, we can't do in-person appearances because of COVID. We can't bring you into the studio and auction off studio appearances because we can't bring anyone into the building. So what we came up with was private Zoom sessions with me. When I say private, your group. You put as many people up there as you want. I think they said four, but I don't care if you put 16 people up there. It doesn't make any difference to me. If you have an office gathering or a birthday party or whatever, you just think I could entertain you for half an hour. And as I keep liking to say, I'll take my shirt off and make fart noises in my armpit if that's what it takes. I'll do whatever. I'll answer whatever questions you got, and it'll just be a private Felger Zoom session, a little private Felger and Maz session. And it's all to benefit Jake Kennedy and his GoFundMe page. We're going to close the auction tomorrow. We're auctioning away the top three bidders. The highest bid right now is $1,300. Okay, so we'll take the $1,300 bid and the next two after it, and we're going to close the bidding tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So you've got today and you've got tomorrow if you want in on this good time. And again, it all goes to the best cause imaginable, the Jake Kennedy ALS Care and Support Fund. So please do support the cause. Go to 985thesportshub.com or christmasinthecity.org. There'll be places for you to go bid. Please bid on that Zoom call. If you don't want to and you're short of that, just go to Jake Kennedy's GoFundMe page and bid whatever you can and donate what you can. Every little bit will help. Do you have something to add there, Maz? I hear you breathing.
Well, so I'm actually I'm sending you a text that you'll have to read before you can address.
Okay. So whenever I hear the heavy breathing, I know either you're snacking or you want to say something. So either way, there's that. Please do help us out with the Jake Kennedy Fund. We would really appreciate your help on that. No commercials, just Big Jim Murray's update. I'll read Maz's text. We'll go right back to your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.